It's the Nerdcast, episode 151.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
Adam, Bob, Tyler, and myself, Iggy, all here for another fun episode of the Nerdcast. And this time we made sure we included Tyler because I felt really bad for last week. Kind of left him hanging there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Did you guys end up recording the night you texted me, or on? Yeah. You guys end up recording on Monday?
Yeah, we record on Monday with the intention for me to record on Tuesday because I was traveling on Wednesday. Needless to say, though, I did my typical Tuesday pre-travel thing and just was so worried I had to get everything done, although I didn't fly out till 5 on Wednesday. So it was good to record on Monday, so I didn't stress out on that. But we did record our 150th episode. For those who have listened, thank you. For those who haven't listened, you're missing out on some fun wording. And
how is it you're listening to 151 and skipped 150?
Somebody might have. Somebody might go to the most recent episode. I don't know. All I can say is our 10-minute history lesson on Yahoo is worth the venture to episode 150.
That sounds terrible.
I thought
so,
too.
Good. It was
Adam
good,
said it was
man.
Pretty good.
Yeah, no, we were on point. I mean, this is a nerd show. We nerded out about internet web browsers and search engines for a hot minute. It was legit.
All right.
I think Bob was chiming in too right now, but he's muted. There you go, Bob.
Did we miss Tyler? Maybe a little bit. We did get to talk a little bit more.
Listen, you guys would get to talk lots more if any of you had anything good to say. I mean, Adam gets to talk. The other two, not so much.
But we do have a lot to talk about this week, including A Quiet Place hitting a home run, Black Panther now just moving further and further ahead, top three domestically now all time. Of course, C2E2 rap, a lot happening there, including our good friend Jedi Manda winning the region for the cosplay competition. Congratulations, Jedi Manda, with that incredible Anastasia gown. And as well as... we already talked a little bit about some video game news, some fun with Westworld and Game of Thrones. So plenty going on in the geek community right now. So Bob and Adam, you guys saw A Quiet Place?
I did, yes.
Spoiler-free, gentlemen, what do you think?
Ooh, wow. What do you think, Adam?
I really enjoyed it. I think they did so if you watch the trailers, you get the sense of, I guess dread would be the word I would use. Yeah, I mean, it just, you feel it watching the trailer. You just kind of feel your body tense up, you know, automatically. And I was worried that, you know, that's hard. That's a hard thing to keep. It's hard to keep people on that, you know, that kind of a level of edge for a whole movie. But I'll tell you what, I felt that for the better part of the movie. The only time where I wasn't really feeling that dread was when they flat out were trying to scare you and did a pretty decent job at that. So I really enjoyed it. I think Krasinski did a great job. I think the direction was pretty good. The story they told was pretty good. The acting was fantastic. You know, I mean, obviously, Krasinski and Blunt do an amazing job, as they do with basically everything. And then the kids, I thought, definitely held their own as well. And that's really about the entire cast. I think it's actually 6 people credited in the whole movie. So you're not missing much there, but they do. I'll tell you what, man, I would definitely see it again. And that'll be one that I own for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. I mean, from the minute the movie starts, you get that sense of dread, and it does not let up. Like Adam said, Krasinski did a great job, just keeping that suspense going through the entire movie. You know, I had joked, and it's not really a spoiler for a movie called A Quiet Place. I had joked where I had said that, yeah, there's probably maybe like 10 pages of dialogue in the whole movie. No, I think there's like 3 pages of dialogue in the whole movie.
Leaving, I was talking to my wife about it and I said 4. So yeah, I would, it's like, I bet that script's 4 pages long, legitimately.
Yeah. It really harked back to some of the other movies of the same genre. I'm not going to say what, because that kind of gives away a little bit. But the acting is fantastic. Emily Blunt, the woman can do no wrong. I know, Iggy, you kind of were getting all worried during the previews in that bathtub scene. That is a fantastic scene all the way through.
I'm not worried. I'm just that seems like a horrifying scene. Like, yeah. That scene above any is like, how do you do this? I have 2 kids. I wasn't even the one in labor and I was screaming. So I don't know how the actual woman in labor is going to keep quiet, but. Yeah.
And it was really, I mean, it's really intelligent because they kind of thought everything through of how things will work and what's going to happen. But you know, when you throw creepy ass monsters into the mix, it kind of throws things for a loop. It has several twists. Obviously, I'm not going to say it. That really caught me off guard. But overall, it is a very good film. Like I said, I mean, Krasinski did a great job with it. And I'm really kind of anxious to see what he does after this now. Is he going to kind of move away from acting and start focusing on directing? Because honestly, I think he could.
Now, A Quiet Place, two things to observe on it so far for who we haven't seen it. By the time this airs, Tyler and I both will have seen it, but at recording we haven't. This has been out now for longer than a weekend, and it's still 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Just point that out there, 96%. That's pretty amazing. But I do love a friend I saw posted online this weekend. Who would have thought that Jordan Peele and John Krasinski are reviving the horror genre of the movie in the movie world. So pretty crazy there. And we've had two fantastic comedians, very different styles of comedies too, give us two horror movies, which sounds like they're kind of different as well here. So.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I would like to point out, you know, when we were talking last week about box office, I think you were talking that it and Ready Player One were going to be like maybe 30 million.
So I was going to put it out there. I was going to be honest about this. I was saying, I think we all three agreed that a Quiet Place was going to win the weekend. I felt it would be a tighter race between it and Ready Player One. Adam kind of came out there and was like, oh, I expected to get closer to 35, maybe even a little higher and do a little bit better Ready Player One. And then I agreed with him. Yeah. The horror fans really come out to support their movies. So I think at that point we agreed. And Bob, you were the one that said, I can see it clearing 40. I can see it clearing 40. And you were right. 50 million this weekend. Incredible. And I mean, I guess I was kind of right with Ready Player One at number two. It was 24.6. Blockers did come in 3 at 20 million, and then you have a big drop to Black Panther at number 4 with 8.7 million.
But yeah, amazing that Blockers, I mean, it is also pretty high up there on the Rotten Tomato scale. It's going fresh. And it did, what, 20? How much did you say, 22 million or something like that?
Just over 20.
Yeah, it did very well, as you know, too. And it, from what I've been reading, I haven't had a chance to see it. I may see it in the next day or two. It's kind of reviving the raunchy comedy genre. It's kind of pulled back over the past couple of years, but you know, they're saying that this might be the movie that kind of kicks it back into gear, especially with Super Troopers 2 coming out next week.
I think we're all excited for that one. So I don't know. It looks great, but we had that. I feel like I got so many movies to see. I'm going to see a Ready Player One. I'll probably wait till this weekend when I have the kids. I'll go see Isle of Dogs, which my kids already saw without me. And so just saying I'm angry at them for that. No. And then, of course, yeah, we have A Quiet Place, Blockers, still need to see, or, and then, yeah, all this leading up to, like you said, we have Super Troopers. Obviously, this weekend's big drop is Rampage. So we had a little talk about that one last week, Tyler. You missed out, but we were talking about it, kind of make fun of it. But we did come to the conclusion it's hard to dismiss a movie that stars Dwayne Johnson. I mean, he's got some box office pull.
It's not that hard.
I
love The Rock, but like, I would say with the exception of Bob, I would say that the three of us probably haven't seen his last two or three starring movies.
Yeah, I saw Fast and Furious 8.
No, that doesn't count. Like, that's okay. One of those big. Okay. Did you? I mean, so like Jumanji, like that was kind of an ensemble. I'll give him that one.
We saw that.
But then, like, did anyone see San Andreas?
I did.
I said Bob.
That's why Tyler said outside of Bob.
And what was that other just god awful one he did right before that?
There are so many god awful movies that.
God, he did one. I'm trying to remember what it was. I don't know. But like San Andreas. Did anyone see Central Intelligence?
I didn't.
I actually did. And it
Baywatch?
Bad.
No.
I think Adam was a fan of
Baywatch. I saw Baywatch, man. Yeah, I enjoyed that movie. And I saw San Andreas. I won't say I enjoyed it. It was exactly
You didn't speak that one. He was dogging me for saying it.
So
I raised my hand, but Tyler kept talking. So
apparently they're making a San Andreas 2.
I was just about to say I'm on his IMDb page, and he's already credited for San Andreas 2. So
suck it, Tyler.
How many franchises is he doing?
I don't know. He's still
only franchises, Bob. He's not doing.
Yeah, I mean, you could say suck it to me. Like, there's a San Andreas 2, but I mean, they're making a Suicide Squad 2, so like, that doesn't fucking. No.
It's funny that you mentioned franchises. So, you know, he's. I mean, I don't know if you credit him for Jumanji franchise yet, obviously, but Fast and Furious he's a big part of. But he's the rumored Jack Burton for your Big Trouble in Little China.
God. Now I would watch that. Like, I don't expect it to be good, but I would go and see it.
Well, I think we're all on that boat right there. We're ready to get to see that. But he's got a number of things going. But yes, San Andreas 2, I think that's interesting. And the next Jumanji sequel is announced, and supposedly the same actors tied to it. So I'll be interesting to see how that pulls. At least the same adult actors that are in the game.
I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I like the idea that the game lives on in different media.
This one will be a VR virtual reality one, I guess. I don't know.
I feel like the last one was virtual reality.
I don't know. Rampage does not look even remotely good. And like everything I read about it, like there's this whole thing about the director going off about how his biggest thing was having to change it so that it's not humans becoming the monsters like it is in the game. They have to be regular ones for some. And they went on some like bent about reality. I mean, being realistic or something like that. I don't know. I mean, we're talking about a director who's like two or three movies of merit are San Andreas, that Journey to the Center of the Earth 2, The Mysterious Island, and Cats and Dogs: The Revenge of Kitty Galore. So
he was in that?
No, he was the director of it. The director of this Rampage directed those.
Oh, movies. Okay. But you know, going back, you know. Dwayne Johnson has that built-in audience that would see anything. I mean, I ran into a couple over the weekend, and somebody, they were talking about Rampage starting next week. And of course, the first thing out of her mouth was, "I got to see it. It's got The Rock in it." I mean, like I said, I mean, he's got a built-in audience that, you know, people like crap.
Well, I mean, Geostorm made some money, so I mean, anything will make
not
some
much. Money.
My point is that, I mean, any movie that's going to be released in theaters,
well, the thing, I'm going to go to it. The Rock is super likable, and he has amazing screen presence, and I think he could be a really big actor. And you know, not to say he's not. He's a huge draw. He's a big movie, but he could do better movies. Like, speaking of Geostorm, that's the same thing with, like, Gerard Butler. I think Gerard Butler's a fantastic actor. I don't feel like that guy's made a good choice in a really long time.
Yeah.
Like a really long time.
No, not at all. But staying in the theme of Rampage, we did get a new trailer this week, too, for The Meg. I don't know if you guys have seen that one. We do have Jason Statham taking on an ancient beast of a shark in what looks to be, the trailer is a train wreck. I don't know how this movie's not going to be a train wreck.
It's actually based on a book, from what I understand.
That author should not be getting paid for this adaptation. That's all I'm saying.
You know, it just looks like stupid summer popcorn movie fun.
Yeah, it's a shark movie in the summertime, dude. It'll be just fine. Did you go see Deep Blue Sea, Iggy?
Not in theaters, no.
And by the way,
what you saw it and you wish you would have seen it in the theaters, because that's a good movie.
Just for the Samuel L. Jackson.
Sequel comes out next week.
The Meg is based on a book called Meg, a novel of deep terror. I think the reason they may have bought the rights to this book and made it is because that book came out in 1997. Since then, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 sequel books have come out to it. Meg, A Novel of Deep Terror, Meg, The Trench, Meg, Primal Waters, Meg, Hell's Aquarium, Meg, Origins, Meg, Special Anniversary Edition, Meg, Night Stalkers, and Meg, Generations.
Night Stalkers.
Hell's Aquarium? What the heck?
Hell's Aquarium, you can work with Night Stalkers? Like, is this, I guess, a night?
Do you have any idea how big a megalodon is supposed to be? There's no aquarium feature for a megalodon. I mean,
there's
the ocean is its aquarium.
He's got some, he's written some other sci-fi stuff. Let's see. Domain, Reservoir Phobos, Mayan Fear, The Lock, Vostok, the sequel to The Lock.
Wait, is The Lock like
he has, I mean, he literally has
this monster.
I'm going to list.
I hope so.
Here's the title of three books that this person has written. One of them is, and I'm like, I read a lot. I'm not going to judge, but I've read some amazing books that had shitty, shitty titles, but he wrote a book called Grim Reaper, End of Days. He wrote a book called The Omega Project, and he also has a book called Sharkman. So,
did you say Sharkman?
Sharkman.
Sharkman. Sharkman. It's like Red
Shark. Right, is this a superhero book or a sci-fi horror
comic? I don't know. It's a red link on Wikipedia, so it's not well read enough for anyone to have. I'd have to go on to like Goodreads or Amazon to find out more about it.
Oh man, okay. That's your homework for next week, Tyler.
I need to find out more about Steven. I mean, like, I will read some bad stuff. This does not spell. I don't know. I mean, John Turteltaub is directing it, so that's exciting. The Meg. He did like
Pirates of Caribbean,
National Treasure, Three Ninjas, Cool Runnings. He did a lot of movies in the 90s that were very successful. Phenomenon, Instinct. I mean,
yeah, you're doing a decent list there. You got a decent.
That was like the last movie that he directed that any of you saw was.
I love how you know our like.
Don't paint history. Me into a corner, Tyler. God,
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that because you. I don't know that you haven't seen them. I'm saying that because he literally has not directed a major motion picture in a really long time. He made. I don't even know what this is.
We are fans of independent film, Tyler.
Last Vegas, which I heard was real bad. I'm sure
Bob saw. Robert De Niro.
Yep.
Michael Douglas.
How long ago was that out?
That came out 6 years ago.
Okay, so that's still
5 years ago.
So
and
yeah,
prior to that one, it was The Sorcerer's Apprentice, the Nick Cage one, in 2010, and prior to that one. The last movie he directed was National Treasure: Book of Secrets, the sequel.
So,
I don't think his
career is gone.
Sorcerer's Apprentice. Well, he was riding that Nick Cage. He's riding that Nick Cage star there for a while, and right about when Nick Cage stars started going the wrong direction,
he definitely did. I mean, other than Las Vegas, last three movies, he did some pilot up. He directed a bunch of pilot episodes for shows that never got picked up. But he directed National Treasure, National Treasure 2, and Sorcerer's Apprentice all in a row, all within a 6-year period, and then didn't get another gig until Las Vegas, and then 5 more years until The Meg. Anyway, fun facts about John Turteltaub.
Well, that was an interesting history lesson there, but The Meg.
He directed While You Were Sleeping, too.
Huh. What?
Look at that. We're becoming like a really bona fide teaching people about the history of different things.
So like this guy went on.
This is the thing we've become now. I'm enjoying this.
So from 1990 to 1999, the guy was killing it. He did Think Big, Driving Me Crazy, Three Ninjas, Cool Runnings, While You're Sleeping.
Wait, the first Three Ninjas?
Yeah, the original.
Yeah.
So Think Big, Driving Me Crazy, Three Ninjas, Cool Runnings, While You're Sleeping, Phenomenon.
Cool Runnings?
An episode of From the Earth to the Moon, which is one of my favorite HBO miniseries, and the original Instinct. Since then, he's made Disney's The Kid, National Treasure 2, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, Last Vegas, and The Meg.
National Treasure, I feel like you're...
That's a good one.
Being
that's
a little hard one. On that. But it does... I can definitely see the difference
between National Treasure... That was the beginning of the...
Three Ninjas. But then again... Then again, my love for Three Ninjas, I was much younger and probably didn't appreciate the art of film as well. So I'd have to revisit that one.
Speaking in the ninja world, I saw something about, I think it was the anniversary this last week for Sidekicks. Jonathan Brandis and Chuck Norris. Like, come on. You guys, I'm not the only one that was feeling that, right?
Oh, I love that movie. I loved Jonathan Brandis. What was that one where he was like a secret agent kid thing? It was a terrible movie. I loved that movie when I was a kid.
Oh, he wasn't in a single good one, I don't think, in like like actual good movie.
You watch but, Tom there, sir.
They were fun. Like Ladybugs is fantastic. Jonathan Brandis and
Rodney Dangerfield.
Dangerfield.
Ladybugs is fantastic. Everyone's right off that one.
They're a lot of fun, but they're not good movies per se. Yeah.
The poor man's Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
So I mean, that's a good way to put it, actually. That's a really good way to put it.
Sequest was Sequest. I loved Sequest DSV, so we'll just say that. I'm trying to find a movie that he's been in that was good where you could remember him being in it. Because there was definitely stuff he was in that's like he's like a bit part that's not bad.
You said movies like we could remember him being in. We've already gone with Sidekicks and Ladybugs. Like,
no, what I'm saying,
I think that's the creme de la creme for Jonathan.
I'm trying to find a good movie he was in that we would remember.
I know. We just named two of them already. Come on, get with the program.
No.
Okay. So moving on from that, because no was a that's a.
That was a pretty just definite.
No. Yeah, so we did get some other trailers here, and I've taken the Adam approach. I've learned from Adam that if I like a movie, and I know I'm going to go see it anyways, or okay, in this case, I knew I was going to go see it anyways. So bad example, but if I'm convinced by the first trailer, probably a better way to put it, I'm not going to watch additional trailers. However, the first Solo trailer really didn't sell me. Like I said, I'm going to see it anyways. It's not only the Star Wars, it's Han Solo. Going to see it. But the first trailer just didn't do it for me. They released the new trailer, so I watched it. And I'm in. I'm all in on this one.
Well, I think Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian is going to be worth the price of admission alone. Like, I was sold on that as soon as they announced it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm on board.
Perfect. Yeah. For sure. And the few scenes now in the new, because he gets a little bit more screen time in the new trailer. And you get more of the Chewie Solo dynamic. You see more of the rest of the smuggler group that he's going to be running with. So you see more of what's going on around it as opposed to just trying to introduce you to a young Solo, which I felt the first trailer was trying to do. So not to knock the first trailer, but it just didn't pull me in to get excited. And I felt like this trailer got me really excited. I'm really ready for it.
Well, I think the problem with the first trailer is they probably were still filming it because of the change of director to Ron Howard, and probably still didn't know what exactly the story was going to be.
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, I felt like when that happened, we talked about it on the podcast, that the movie was going to get delayed. And then the next thing I knew, it was still coming out in May. So I was like, what is going on here? Ron Howard just works magic, I guess.
Obi knows what he's doing, buddy. Don't worry.
Yeah, he could definitely screw up the entire Star Wars franchise with this. But I have a feeling, just like I said from the preview, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, he may not elevate it, but I don't think there's really just about anything that could kill it at this point in time.
I mean, he is the safest director in Hollywood. Exactly. Like, he's made some amazing movies, but even his worst movies are that his bottom baseline is high enough to placate even the most, you know, demanding of studio executives. Like, he's not going to deliver dog shit. He's a technically amazing director.
He's got a high floor and a lower ceiling than some. Like, you know what you're going to get.
He's it's definitely interesting. And I would say the movie itself, or actually my son probably said it well. What I was liking for is I was getting tired with the Marvel Cinematic Universe when it felt a lot of the same was going on. Early in that universe, when they were starting to bring it all together, felt a lot of the same. And one of my favorite things about the early Captain America movies is those felt completely different. And then you started giving these projects to the likes of James Gunn and other directors off, you know, that made it their own. And it almost feels like Solo doesn't look or feel completely like the other Star Wars movies. It feels very different, at least from this trailer.
I would say that, I mean, in a different way, but like, Rogue One was way different than a normal Star Wars movie. Definitely.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And I really like that one, probably because that Rogue One was really fantastic.
I mean, I've heard them talking about Solo, that it was going to be just a little bit more on the comic side than, say, for instance, Rogue One, which was just completely serious. And that, from what I understand, that was where the original directors of it, they got released because they were making it too improv, like with some of the dialogue. They really didn't stick to a set script. But now, it's like I said, with Ron Howard, I think they probably have a more firmer grasp on a story, things like that. So, yeah, like I said, I'm very really interested in seeing it. And can you believe it? It's going to be it's out in 2 months.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be. I mean, I don't have high hopes based on everything we've heard from it. And anytime a movie has this rocky of a production, it doesn't end well. But even if he knocks it out of the park, there's going to be that camp of people who are going to be like, well, it's dog shit. And I want to see, you know, Lord and Miller's version. I'm sure it was better. Like, I don't know. I don't see it anything. I don't see any way that it can be like a rousing success. Like, I don't, after, especially with the, with as turmoiled as it's been, like, there's always going to be, and it's a Star Wars movie. Like, I feel like if Force Awakens taught us anything, like, no one hates Star Wars more than a really diehard Star Wars fan. Like, there's nothing a hard diehard Star Wars fan loves more than to hate on all things Star Wars. Like, you can't truly hate a Star Wars thing unless you love it so much. What's that?
Was just raising my hand after the Last Jedi, but I'm just saying, I do own Last Jedi. I haven't watched it yet again since I got home because I've been traveling so much the past couple weeks, but I do need to watch it again before I sit firm on my judgment of it.
Listen, you can have criticisms about that movie, but like, anyone who goes in and just says it's a bad movie is just really, is wrong, but as Adam says, but it's just too hung up in their own version of Star Wars to understand that, like, this is how Star Wars stories are told.
I don't think it's okay to change stuff. Adam, or Tyler, I feel like you've been deciding a lot for us this episode, but I'm just not that that's new, I guess, but I don't know. Anyways, I don't feel like it's a bad movie. I just I don't know, and maybe it was just the, you know, not having anything for a while, and then we got episode 7, and so that was so high, and then Rogue One, like we said, was so different. So maybe it was just those, you know, I felt like I was riding higher with those, if that makes sense. But I just didn't feel like Last Jedi lived up to those, and I'll watch it again. I'll probably feel different when I watch it again. I don't know. Bob, was it look like, I already know you loved it in 4K because you were messaging me the whole time you were watching it. Like, oh, you should get your original speaker set back up. You should get all this, just rubbing it in that I have some stupid sound bar now.
Blame me.
I'm not blaming you. I'm just blaming you for rubbing it in. So.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, but speaking of Star Wars, that is The Last Jedi is, you know, as we mentioned, number 7 all time. At the box office, and now at $666 million is a Black Panther at number 3. That's less than $100 million away from Avatar.
Yeah.
2 weeks to the last to the new Avengers movie. I don't think we're going to get there, especially with it pulling in less than 10 this past weekend.
Yeah, and it's not going to get that re-release like in 6 months that Avatar got when it bounced back with another 3D showings and all those kinds of things. Like, I mean, that's a hard number to get to.
You never know. I mean, it might get you'd be surprised. It might get an Oscar push and studios would re-release it.
I could see it getting enough love that way that it might sneak into a screenplay, nominee. We saw Logan, and then obviously all the talk about Get Out and The Big Sick, being the abnormal nominees, finally getting the screenplay nominees. Well, Get Out was the only one that got Best Picture nominee, but I just don't see one of these comic book movies with how many are coming out.
Yeah, and what else do they have? What else does Marvel have coming out this year? Because they're also not going to be eating, Disney and Marvel aren't going to be eating into their later movies by re-releasing Black Panther just to get number two at the box office.
Yeah, Disney's got it, still has Avengers and Solo and Ant-Man and the Wasp and probably something else. Like, what's their holiday movie going to be? They've got to have something at the end of the year, don't they?
We got Incredibles for the summer, and Wreck-It Ralph is the holiday one.
Yeah, they're not going to. And you're not going to re-release an Oscar push movie for anything that's outside of the big five. Like, if it's not director, best picture, or one of the four acting big six, like one of the big acting, you're not going to re-release. You're not going to re-release for a best screenplay nomination.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think we're all in agreement that it's going to probably sit firmly at number three, but it's about 7 million more than Titanic. I don't see, Titanic got its re-release for 3D many years later, but until we get like 4D, 5D, whatever it's going to be next, Cameron's going to have to sit firm on that number four spot there. But you have Disney, Cameron. So, I mean, that's your top four right there. You want to get up there? There you go.
I think later this year, you're going to add in another Disney.
Probably.
I'll be really surprised if Black Panther hits 700 million. I mean, it's what, 34 million away, and what, it did 8 million this weekend. It'll be close.
Yeah, I just think because we're what, about 2 weeks out from this airing Avengers, to where we get Avengers, and
you see Avengers, Black Panther. You got Deadpool, you got all those coming out. I mean,
I just don't see it sitting not on many screens. I feel like it's going to get pulled from almost every screen at that point.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Coming out
video in May.
Yes, in May, not June or July, but May. So, what was that date again, Bob? We were talking about before we started recording, but Black Panther announced for 4K Blu-ray and DVD on May 15th. Not bad. That's really clever now that when I'm thinking about it, because that's the week of Deadpool, right? So you're going to say we released Avengers, and then when Deadpool Fox's release is coming out, we're going to go ahead and release our big, big one that happened earlier this year on home video for you guys. Don't go out this weekend. I mean, go out a little bit because we still get some of this money, but don't go out as much because we don't want you to beat what we're doing completely. We were at C2E2. We had some representation there this weekend, and I'll get more into that in a little bit. But one conversation we were having was a little bit about the Fox, buyout that's still kind of in the air. I think Comcast kind of threw a curveball into that, leaving it. But it was interesting because it felt, as we were discussing it, it felt really much like Disney felt like they had a grasp on getting back those Fox franchises because they have announced Fantastic Four's return to the comic book pages. And we all know they were not quiet in saying why they pulled those certain books from the comics, creating comics, due to the way Fox is compensated with those franchises. But it's definitely interesting to see now Fantastic Four will be back in comics and see eventually if, all those franchises go to Disney with the rest of them. So I don't know. A lot happening there with Marvel, though, this year. Like I said, we got two more releases. That's three Marvel movies in 1 year. That's pretty big.
Yeah,
and Thor was just right at the end of 2017 as well.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
yeah, actually, if you were to look at a 12-month window, it's all four of them.
Right, you'll get all four of them. Yeah, it's wild. And no signs of slowing down either. I've been worried about it for a couple of years now that you're going to get some of that oversaturation from the comic books, and I really doesn't appear to be the case. Even DC Comics are making movies or making money in their movies, so. Who knows?
But in the comic world too, finally getting this weekend, so I'll try to see it next week, getting a wider release is Image Comics adaptation for I Kill Giants. So interesting. It's gotten some, say, mixed reviews early, which I think for movies of that style and independent nature still, it's a very, not quite the Marvel budget, obviously, but something I want to check out. We discussed it a little bit last week as we were debating, or we were throwing it out there that there was a debate of was Chris Evans or Zoe Saldana in more movies. And by the way, if you go to a comic convention, that makes for some great conversation when you're lobby conning in the evening. So it was fun for sure. But yeah, a lot going on. I think we're going to have so much to talk about just movie-wise the next couple months we've had so far. It's like when we look at it, we've been, you know, and we talked about it. When I look back at 2016 and I look back at 2017, I feel it was a better year than what we talked about it when we were going through the year of movies. It's but 2018, I mean, I feel like we've had a great start. We've had a tremendous start.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, let me jump back a little bit, you know, because we kind of left off some movies at the end of the year still coming. You still got Venom coming out October 5th. You got X-Men Dark Phoenix in November. And in December, you got the animated Spider-Man movie.
That's right. You get a double from Sony and a double from Fox this year with three from Disney. Golly, that's a lot of Marvel. That's a lot of Marvel.
And then also on December 21st is Aquaman.
Is that happening? Like, I feel like it's been announced. And it's like they were confident in that announcement for a while. But have we heard anything?
I'm pretty sure that it wrapped filming like a while ago, as far as I know. Like it was being filmed last year, as far as I know. I don't know. There's a lot of ones I had almost forgotten were being made. Because isn't Disney doing Disney's doing the remake of Mary Poppins too? That comes out in December.
Is it next year? Is the Winnie the Pooh one? But the yeah, we already mentioned Incredibles and Wreck-It Ralph franchises are back in here this year.
Not Disney, but I almost forgot that we're getting our first Transformers spinoff with Bumblebee this year too. That's December.
You know how to spoil a night, don't Tyler?
Right? I'll tell you what. Yeah, now we're deflated. I guess that's the end of the episode. Transformers.
All right, we can talk about other things. Yeah. You know, and that's all movies. We could talk, like, TV shows. There's still a lot of stuff to come. Like, Westworld starts this month. This weekend, like, the day this goes up, the reboot of Lost in Space will have launched on Netflix, which looks surprisingly interesting.
Yeah.
Like, the production values for that look way up. Like, Netflix is out there spending money. Like, you look at, like, Altered Carbon, for all its flaws, was beautiful. Like, the production values were super high. Lost in Space looks insanely high production values, and Netflix is just throwing money at all sorts of stuff. And now you got Amazon out there throwing what sounds like $1 billion at Lord of the Rings. And then you've got Apple. Like, Apple's been talking about trying to get into content for a while. They had that really bad attack. What was it? Planet of the Apps show, and then Carpool Karaoke on Apple Music. And now they've been announcing like all these rights they've been buying up to try and produce content. The newest one I read today is they bought the rights to the Foundation series from Isaac Asimov and are going to try to make a TV show from that. How you make a TV show about the concept of predicting the future through mathematics and history to save the universe, its knowledge, because the empire is going to collapse. I'm not sure, but I do like Foundation, so I'm sure it'll be thrilling television. Or they'll just do what iRobot did and just take out all the big ideas and just make people shoot at each other. That's cool, too. I'm down with that.
But outside of Netflix, too, I mean, well, we did have more on Netflix that was just dropped as well, which people seem pretty excited with the series of Unfortunate Events Season 2. It's something.
Have you guys not watched any of that yet?
I'm waiting on Orion. I haven't started it, man. So I have to wait till this weekend.
It's quite good.
But another one that is kind of flown under the radar, but was a huge show in Spain and picked up by Netflix, was La Casa de Papel, which they're calling Money Heist now because it's getting enough international recognition. They just dropped Season 2 for that. And then off of Netflix, obviously, we talked a little bit about it the last couple weeks, the Roseanne return, which was warmly received, very high ratings for that first week. And, of course, we have a New Girl final season starts this month. And, yeah, a lot of TV going on right now as well.
And the second season of Legion.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. But I don't want to forget that.
There's a lot of TV.
I haven't started the new season of Legion, but I've heard it's been.
Oh, is it started wackier, already?
Even wackier.
Okay, I haven't logged into Hulu in a while. I got a lot of work to do there, I guess. So.
And then you got the end of Walking Dead this weekend and the start of Fear the Walking Dead.
Are people still watching that?
Yeah, there's still some.
I know they still got it right, but yeah, it's I don't know. I feel like it's probably nearing its end. It feels like the excitement is really starting to dwindle from that.
I really kind of haven't been watching it very much. It's just gotten so depressing anymore. It's like, who's going to die this week? And, you know, I liked it when it was just had an actual story and not a pick a zombie, any zombie kind of.
I know a lot of people who still watch The Walking Dead, but I don't know. I stopped after, what, 2-3 seasons? And it's on, what, season, like, 6 now? 7?
8, yeah. Yeah, 8, it's further than that. But, no. Yeah,
it's like Supernatural long, which I just realized. I mean, once a year, I always get that something happens, some meme comes out or some clip comes out. I'm like, oh, shit, Supernatural's still in the air? Supernatural, like, first episode aired, I'm pretty sure I was still in high school. Like that's an exaggeration. Yeah, I wasn't,
yeah, a little bit.
But I mean, it feels that fucking long ago.
I think it got renewed for the next one. Will be 14.
Wow. Did it get renewed for another 14?
Oh, yeah, it's already. Yeah, CW's announced their shows that are coming back, and it was right there at the top. It's not going anywhere.
Oh my god, super. Well, the reason I say high school is because Smallville started when I was in high school and ran for fuck all ever. But then, like, what is it? I feel like Supernatural is almost a spinoff of Smallville because Jensen Ackles was like a one season main character on Smallville. And then the next year he starred in the first season of Supernatural. And now 13 years later, he's still doing that. But Smallville also ran for, God, what did it run for?
I think it had 11
years.
10 or 11, I think. Yeah. See, people give CW a crap, but
their shows run forever.
Going.
I mean, Arrow's on what now? Arrow's going to be on six or seven now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I've tried to get back into I was never really into Arrow. I tried Arrow for got through a couple seasons. Flash never really did it for me. Legends of Tomorrow. Now there's like 15 more Supergirls on CW now. I tried to get back into it, but not unlike comics, they've really embraced the comic crossover. And every season, there's at least one time where, like, to get the plot of an entire episode, you have to watch, like, 7 episodes of 5 different shows. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. No one has time for that. Also, last time I clicked up an episode of Arrow that was just happened to be running and I wasn't caught up, it seems like literally everyone in the television show is now a superhero. Everyone. Like, every main bit character is now
a superhero. It's turned into Kick-Ass.
Like, they need a van of some kind to, like, get from place to place now.
Like a mystery van?
I don't know. Like an Arrow van. I don't know.
Scooby-dooby-doo. Sticking with TV, even though it doesn't come out this year, although we would all like it to come out this year, Game of Thrones had some interesting news this week announcing the longest it's taken for them, at least, to film a battle scene. Previously... I think it was the Battle of the Bastards, if I remember correctly, was 25 days is what they said. They have filmed a battle scene, obviously, for the final season. So it would make sense it took them 55 days. 55 days to record one scene. One scene, guys. For television.
How long was the actual Battle of the Bastards? That was like about 30, 40 minutes?
Yeah, I think it lasted most of that episode.
Yeah, it was really close, but... That's almost and I've heard that the episodes for Game of Thrones, whenever it comes out, are going to be almost movie length, an hour and a half to an hour.
I think you're getting, 90 minutes, so 90 minutes.
Yeah, so, 55 days. Yeah, I could see a full 2 hours of battling. Yeah, I'd watch it.
All right, so
I am interested. Did anyone watch Krypton?
No.
All right, I was curious.
We've heard great things. I thought Patrick was going to do a review on it. Maybe he did. We just never published it. But he had mentioned wanting to do a kind of an intro to Krypton for Project Nerd over at the website. And if it's not up there yet, and he did it, it'll be up there soon. If not, then he didn't do it. So one way or the other, something might be up there, might not. I'm managing the site very well, as you can tell. But anyways, it's I think I know about 8 or 9 people actually that have seen it, which sounds small, but considering that it airs on Sci-Fi and it's only airing now, that's actually a pretty large number for live TV. And all of them have said good things.
Right. It might only be 8 or 9 people, but it's like 95% of the people that actually pay for cable television. So that's pretty good.
Sci-Fi had time to show Krypton. Heck, they were at C2E2 all over the place from what I was watching this weekend.
They were. They had a big presence, very big presence. It sponsored like a kind of like a, not a panel room, but like a panel set up off to the side. They were out on the floor doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah, they were getting their con on, that's for sure.
Did they finally decide that they want us all back now? They're over their little they're like 10-year foray into professional wrestling and ghost hunters. Like,
I guess so.
We want you guys to love us like you did when Battlestar Galactica was on.
But speaking of it, C2E2, obviously one of the bigger shows in the Midwest, one of the more renowned ones in the country, took place this past weekend in Chicago. We went up there, did a little bit with Project Nerd Publishing and just hung out with Project Nerd and had a great time. Fun show, always amazing costumes. The costuming people we know up there are fantastic. But it's incredible because this is where the Crown Championship of Cosplay takes place. So what that means is they crown a winner there, which becomes the region. So you have the West Central, or the West Midwest, I guess, or whatever they call it, and then the East region. So your New York Comic Con winner from last fall, your Emerald City Comic Con winner from a month or 6 weeks ago, whenever that took place, and the Chicago winner. Then out of those three, they decide the United States winner, who then competes with other winners from across the world. And the costumes that were brought were phenomenal. There was a gentleman from Indonesia that was Diablo from Diablo video games.
I love that picture.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable costume. He has 125 followers on Facebook, guys. 125 followers. But doesn't matter. He won at a convention somewhere in the Pacific region. And they flew him out here, flew his costume out here and everything like that. And he competed. Really cool guy, nice guy to talk to. The gentleman from Europe was great. The woman who won it all was very nice, of course. These people were really good. So congratulations to them all. I'm pretty sure over the C2E2 website you can see that. But again, another congratulations to Jedi Manda, who's been our friends for many, many years. And we did just share that Anastasia dress on ProjectNerd.com a few weeks ago. So if you go to ProjectNerd.com and look at that cosplay category, it's there. That dress was your Midwest regional winner there at Chicago. So she got a nice big check, and it was actually really big. It was fun. We were playing with it in the lobby, but it was a really big check. And of course she got then a huge like sponsorship package from a singer from the sewing company. So congratulations to her. She sews a lot. So a new sewing machine, she's probably not upset about, but it's great. It's great to see the costumes there. It's always a blast. Food's fantastic. I won't go too much into it because these guys already got mad at me for kind of semi-bragging about it. But it's definitely a show that if you have the opportunity, we recommend going to it. However, for many, and we have a lot of Chicago listeners and a number of Kansas City area listeners. So I will say to those groups, you're going to have to pick next year because both are the last weekend of March. Yeah, same exact weekend.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Planet Comic Con and C2E2, probably the two largest shows in the Midwest.
Gonna be what the fuck is Planet Comic Con doing?
Planet Comic Con announced their dates first, to be honest. They announced.
They need to move it now, though. No, I'm serious. Like, that's not, I mean.
No, it's going to hurt Planet Comic Con.
It's not going to hurt C2E2.
Like, no, it's going to hurt
I'm not saying, like, yes, because I'm sure they already have contracts signed and stuff like that. But from a vendor standpoint, like, all the really good vendors that go to Planet Comic Con also go to C2E2. And if they have to choose between those two shows, they're going to go to C2E2.
It is. It's a difficult thing. And we hung out a little bit with Chris Jackson, of Planet Comic Con this weekend at C2E2. So he is, yeah, was definitely aware, talked a little bit about it. It's tough. We've talked about it a number of times amongst us, I think on microphone and off microphone. I don't understand still, and I didn't ask him this, obviously, and maybe in a nice way I could find a way to ask Chris this, but I don't understand how two of the largest shows in the Midwest in the biggest, two of the biggest events in those cities really can't lock down dates for multiple years at a time for consistent dates at Bartle Hall or McCormick. McCormick may be a little bit more difficult with how big it is and the fact that it's constantly got going things, but I feel like Bartle, like, I don't know how Planet Comic Con couldn't lay down for a few years, but I don't know. Obviously we don't know the logistics of that. So more difficult than we probably assume, obviously, but yeah, it is put it definitely in a bind next year. And I'm sure as the year goes on and we get closer to hearing things, announcements for those, there'll be a lot of discussion on this podcast about what's happening there. But there's already discussion in my mind and probably for this team, like, what do we do? What do we do next year? So,
I mean, I love Planet Comic Con and it's, you know, my hometown show, but if I had to choose between it and C2E2, I mean, the food, if nothing else was a factor, like if you take money and travel and stuff out of it, like I'm going to pick C2E2.
Yeah.
Just from quality of vendors and quality of guests and stuff like that. Because C2E2 always does a better job, I think, with getting a wide variety of guests. Like they're one of the few places that gets like really good, you know, comic guests, really good book guests, really good, you know, TV and like a good mix of that kind of stuff where, I don't know. I would choose C, if with money and travel wasn't an option, I mean, wasn't a factor, I would definitely pick C2E2 over Planet Comic Con. And I love Planet Comic Con.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all right. I definitely think they're both great shows. It definitely puts a bind, I think, for a lot of people there. Everybody that was from the Kansas City, Omaha region that was up there, because we know a lot of them. So we had a lot of the cosplay friends. We had people that run shows. Like I said, Chris Jackson was there. Matt Fuyan of O Comic Con was there. All of these people already were like, what is going on? What's going to happen? I really wish this wasn't the case, you know? So it does make it for interesting. So for those who were planning for both next year, which I saw a lot of friends, because a lot of our friends typically do, it's going to be an interesting decision. But yeah, C2E2 this year, that was great. None of us made it to Planet Comic Con, but it was supposedly great as well. Interesting this week, if you're in Denver, check out Dink. Charlie De La Greca puts on a great show, comic specific. There is a cosplay competition, but it's for pets. So if you got your pet a costume, you can take them there to compete. But guest of honor, surprise guest of honor, just announced in the past couple weeks, John Leguizamo promoting his comics there. So that's going to be interesting. See what's going on there.
Does he qualify as an independent comic creator?
I don't even know who's publishing through, to be honest. So it might be. I mean, it's I don't know. So interesting enough, though, it'd be cool for him to do some there. But you also have, I mean, the likes of artists like Amy Reeder, who is really well known, does a lot of great big covers, especially for Zinescope and Image and things like that. So a lot of really good talent here for Dink Year 3. So really cool to see that show grow. And of course, the Dinky Awards, which is very focused on Denver specific, or Colorado, excuse me, specific comics. So obviously Leguizamo and stuff are not qualifying for these awards, but it makes it interesting because you get to see some of the local talent get spotlighted and gives you a good view on what's happening. So good luck to all those Denver creators and everything. We will not be there this year. As we've pointed out a couple times, a slow year for us on the comic convention front. But we will be at O Comic Con in July, which has two big announcements coming up soon. So I'm not allowed to talk about it, obviously. So I'll keep my mouth shut.
Cowboy from YMCA or Village People is not one of the big announcements?
That already took place, Bob. That's already one of the announcements. But
huge.
Yeah, it was interesting. And it's cool because it's not a guest you see at a bunch of cons too. So that's what I like about OCC, is that you get a lot of guests that you're not seeing four or five times other times of the year. You get guests that I'm like, wow, I'd never, you know, I haven't seen them at a show in forever or ever. Yeah. So fun stuff there. But I can't believe it, guys. I didn't even realize we've talked for an hour already. We're pretty much out of time. So movies, TV, all that. Real quick, I know we've got God of War coming out soon. What date is that again?
Next week. So the 20th, I want to say that's the Friday. I can't remember. Whatever next Friday is.
Okay, yeah. So it doesn't come out till Friday, so that means you'll still be there to record on Tuesday, so that's good.
Yeah, the next Tuesday is going to be the tough one probably still. Because that game looks so good. I don't know if you've seen it. If you've watched any of the trailers, the game looks amazing. Oh, my God.
All right, so new God of War this month, pretty exciting. Tyler, anything on the book front for us that's new?
There's a few things coming soon. I don't have anything super new. I got sucked into another Shannon Maguire series, the Encrypted series, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm like the sixth one of those. They're good. They're fun. I still like the October Day series by her a lot better, but these ones are they're good, silly fun.
Did you finish Iron Gold?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. I haven't finished it yet. I just wanted to know.
I finished Iron Gold. There's a few other books coming in the next couple months that I will definitely talk about that I'm excited about. Mose, lately I've been playing Far Cry 5 and saving the residents of Hope County from Eden's Gate cult and the Father. It's fun. I mean, it's a Far Cry game. Go in expecting a Far Cry game. You're going to get a Far Cry game. If you like to shoot people and blow shit up, that's pretty cool.
So. All right, guys. Well, Bob, get us started with a quick closing thought.
2 weeks, Avengers, and the start of the summer movie season. I'm ready.
Adam, what you got for us?
Read some books. I am reading Iron Gold. I've made it all the way through what was the Red Rising trilogy, and now is the Red Rising series, I guess. I don't know. I suppose you could pick up Iron Golds having not read the Red Rising trilogy and sort of understand books written different than the other three books for sure. So it's style and format is unique in the series. So interesting there. Also play some video games. Obviously baseball has kicked back up. So we mentioned that before. Get yourself some MLB The Show if you got a PlayStation. Really good free games from both Xbox and Sony this month. So if you are a PlayStation Plus member or a Xbox Game with Gold subscriber, go get your free games. They're worth it this month for sure.
All right, Tyler, what you got?
For those of you who are not aware, this year is the 50th anniversary of 2001: A Space Odyssey. If you get a chance, there is an amazing exhibit right now in Washington, D.C. at the Air and Space Museum about 2001 A Space Odyssey. That's real cool. It just opened this last week. There's a lot of images of it online and stuff like that, but I would highly recommend getting a chance to go if you're in that area or have an excuse to go see it. And also, tickets will go on sale soon in May in select theaters. Christopher Nolan is releasing a brand new, I say brand new, like you have to read about the, but a, basically a 70 millimeter print of the movie that will be in a limited release in May. And it looks like it's going to be real dope.
We will all be there, I'm sure. So with my closing thoughts, I will note C2E2 this weekend. Always love being on the floor. Always love the con. But the people we know are just fantastic. And it was just something that in the conversations, sitting down with people, just how crazy passionate the geeks we know are. So it's just amazing to know so many crazy, passionate people. So I just want to give a shout out to all those friends, all those people that have met us over time that maybe we don't even call friends at this time that are just doing their own podcasts, their own websites, their own costumes, their own gaming, their own writing, their own everything. I love it. I just love to sit there and listen to it. So if you do see us at a future convention, I'm sure I'm not the only one on here that can say that, and you want to talk about what you're doing, what you're passionate about, come to our booth, come find one of us, sit down with us, buy us a drink. None of us will ever complain about that. You know, just talk to us because we love to hear it. We love to hear it. And I just love to hear about all these independent creations. Picked up a number of comics and some artwork that you won't find in Diamond, you know, distribution or in your comic stores all across the country. So definitely do that when you get to a convention, but just keep being passionate about what you do and more power to you. Just keep creating geeks. We love it. We love it. Love it so much. So with that, we close out episode 151 and just passed our sixth anniversary episode, just passed our 150th podcast episode. Which does, that number does remind me one other congratulations, worst comic podcast ever on episode number 200. And one more milestone this week, Action Comics 1000. Pick it up if you can. Special hardcover editions out there with some extra bonus art. Other than that, we'll catch you next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel.